Good morning, Los Angeles. Ben Lyons filling in for George on a Monday. Lots to get into on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. As always, guests on the Sedano Show appear by the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Ben Lyons here hanging out for the next few hours. A packed show, an enormous show. Lots going on in the sports world. We're going to have Kenny Smith from Inside the NBA stop by, talk all things Lakers as they get ready for the playoffs in just 8 days. Plus Ramona Shelburne in the 11 o'clock hour to break down what's going on in the bubbles, as well as talk some Dodgers and all the happenings of college football, which has really sort of taken over some of the sports conversation today. Top players tweeting out in college football that they want to play, from Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence. And we'll get into all of that on the show. But I want to kick things off first with the man himself, the man in the middle, the man in the pivot. Today's theme is going to be about pivoting. Let's kick things off in the pivot with Anthony Davis, who played 35 minutes on Saturday and scored 8 points on 3 of 14 shooting. Well, the Lakers have already locked up the number one seed. Well, the Lakers aren't worried about winning the games. They're just going out there trying to find their rhythm, trying to find their rotations. Well, Anthony Davis so far in these 6 games in the bubble, to say he's been anything short of lackluster in his performance would be a compliment. Sure, he's had the big game against the Clippers on opening night of the restart, and he shot 13 of 28 against Utah. But guys, I go down this list of field goal attempts and just eyeball tests with Anthony Davis, and I have to be honest, I pause for concern. I go on this show often on Fridays to talk movies with George, and we'll go through whatever silly movie game, but then we'll have a sort of check-in state of the Lakers. And for the last few weeks, I would call in the show on Friday and say, you know what? In order for the Lakers to win the NBA championship, Anthony Davis needs to be the best player on the planet. Not the best player in terms of better than Giannis or better than Paul George, better than LeBron. He needs to be the best player on the planet. And if this bubble has shown us anything about those Lakers, is that that statement rings true. They need Anthony Davis to not only put up Superman numbers, but right now he's putting up pedestrian numbers. Can he be the alpha? Can he be aggressive when he needs to? Can he sit in a timeout when the Clippers have gone on a 6-0 run and it's the fourth quarter and say, hey, LeBron James, get out of the way and give me the ball? Shaq would have done it. Hakeem Olajuwon would have done it. David Robinson and Tim Duncan did it. The great bigs of all time were able to do it. The captain himself, Kareem, had done it. We haven't seen it yet from Anthony Davis. And I'm starting to get more and more concerned that he might not have it in him. I hope he does. To be the man, you got to beat the man. I don't know who Anthony Davis has had to beat so far. He's been anointed at the number one pick as the second coming, and throughout his career has delivered. But yet here we are now embarking on the biggest challenge he's ever faced as a player. Well, really the biggest challenge all these players have faced in this crazy bubble. But to come into Los Angeles, have the franchise, the glamour franchise in the sport, bet their future on you to give you the keys and say, take us to the promised land, I don't see it just yet. Greg, Laura, I know you guys watched on Saturday, and Greg, you're a little frustrated with the lack of W's from the Lakers in the bubble so far, but you have to be concerned with another 3 of 14 effort from Anthony Davis.
I mean, the amount of shots that he's taking is pretty low. I mean, I kind of understand what they're doing, where they're trying to get other guys' shots, and it doesn't mean as much because they've already wrapped up the number one seed, like you were saying. But yeah, I mean, 14 shots in a game for Anthony Davis is low. That's where he needs to really start taking over. I thought he played a little bit better all around in that game on Saturday, where he was getting more steals, more blocks, he was passing the ball a little bit better. But for the most part, like, he needs to take over these games. And
Greg, you're upset with 14 shots. That's one of his higher shot totals for the bubble. He shot 11 times against Oklahoma. He shot 7 against Toronto, 8 times against Houston. And this speaks to that point of aggression and alpha. And yeah, you want to get other guys' shots. Well, and you know a good way to get guys open shots on the perimeter? Dump it down low to the big fella in the pivot. but he doesn't seem to command the block. He doesn't seem to be able to play out of the double team. And the double team from Indiana was throwing him fits the other day. And look, do I still think he's one of the best basketball players on the planet? Of course. When I watch him go for 30-something against the Clippers and hit threes and dictate the flow of the offense, he looks like the next evolution of greatness in the sport. But can you do it night in and night out? Can you do it four times in 8 days in a playoff series in this new bubble? I don't know, man. I don't like his sort of passive, deferring to LeBron, following LeBron's lead attitude. It's an uncomfortable spot for someone like him to be in. But at the end of the day, this is what it's going to take for the Lakers to win the title. They cannot win an NBA championship with him maybe going 3 of 14 on any given night. And it is, that does have me pause for concern if I'm a Laker fan.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but let's look at the two games that he actually did take a larger amount of shots. The two games that he did, he was 8 of 19 against the Clippers on that opening day, the one that was the biggest game that they were going to have inside this bubble, right? Where they needed to show the Clippers that, hey, we're here. This is going to be a real series. And he had 8 of 19 shots. He put up 34 points. That's a pretty big game from him. And then in the next game that it actually mattered, where he needed to get where they actually clinched the West against Utah 2 games later, he put up 28 shots and he put up 42 points. So those were the two big games. After that, they've already clinched. He doesn't need to be as aggressive as maybe he should have been in other games. Maybe the Toronto game, he was a little bit rattled, but he still needs to be better. But those were the two big games. Now
agree with you on that. And there's a little asterisk because Trez and Lou weren't there for the first one with the Clippers, and every team's dealing with guys out. The Lakers, I just heard Sliwa talking about the absence of Rondo, and I think the absence of Rondo plays a huge part into why Anthony Davis is struggling, because when LeBron's not on the floor, there is nobody who seems to have any clue of what this offense is meant to do or how to get this guy AD easy shots. Rondo, to me, would be that guy, and hopefully he's able to come back at some point in this. So you're right, though. When he goes up against Rudy Gobert, he rises to the challenge, has a great game against a Utah team that desperately needed that win, locked up the number one seed for the Lakers. So now they're in this like limbo phase. They have a game tonight against the Nuggets. Coverage will begin, I believe, at 6 o'clock on our station, taking on the Nuggets, who I'm very high on. I know you're not, Greg. I love the front line of Michael Porter Jr. and Bol Bol and Jokic. I think they are a weird team and could cause some problems matchup-wise for the Lakers. So I don't know what you're even supposed to expect or get out of him tonight. He's going to play some minutes, keep his conditioning up, get his legs under him. I understand that. So I'm just struggling here as I sit on a Monday morning looking forward to the Laker game tonight of what am I hoping to see out of Anthony Davis tonight to hold him accountable as we move forward towards a playoff run?
I mean, I think in this game, I would like to see him be a little bit more aggressive, have those shot numbers rise and go back up into the 20s. Just for this game to basically shut most of the people, like most of the fans up just a little bit. I mean, look, if I'm going to put up 20 shots, I'm going to get you your 30 points that you're looking for.
And also, you just wanted to shut me up for tomorrow. That's what it is. Because I'm coming back in here tomorrow morning and you want him to go for 25 just so I open the show differently tomorrow.
Right. You could have come on tomorrow and you'd be like, all right, so Anthony Davis Sedano likes to say, put on his big boy pants, and we saw him dominate against Denver. That's how I would love for the show to start tomorrow.
I would love for tomorrow's show to open with LeBron James MVP, Giannis MVP. You guys are nuts. It's clearly Anthony Davis. That would be a terrific way to open tomorrow's show, because that's going to be the fast pass track to the NBA Finals for this team. Because I'm sorry, the expectations we put on LeBron, people were saying he was looking bad in the bubble so far, didn't look like himself. This man is 35 in year 17, doing everything, leading the league in assists, playing defense at the key times. Situational defense has been terrific from LeBron. I don't know how much more you can put on this man's shoulders to be a leader in social justice, leader of the league, make sure all the players are being treated the right way by the Players Association. Oh, yeah, he's a real person and a father and invested in his kid's life, and he has to live 3,000 miles away. It's a lot for LeBron. So not only to have Anthony Davis there for support, but have Anthony Davis to take some of this off his shoulders. Because peak LeBron, 51 points, game one of the NBA Finals in 2018, he's never looked – that good as a Laker as he did that night. Can he get back to playoff LeBron? I think so. But man, we need something out of AD that's like top five worthy, because 3 of 14 and letting TJ Warren go for 39 points. What are we doing here? We're just wasting time till next week, I guess.
I mean, let's just be honest about TJ Warren right now. TJ Warren is maybe the best player in the bubble right now. He has been absolutely fantastic and hitting shots that just nobody has, you couldn't expect from him at all. I mean, he was basically given away from Phoenix, right? And all of a sudden, TJ Warren is the star of the Orlando bubble. But yeah, I agree with you. Anthony Davis needs to step up. He needs to show what he can possibly do. But I also just think that in the two games that you really wanted him to step up, he showed you what he can be. I'm just a little bit worried about the double teaming aspect, because every time he gets double teamed by any team so far, he's looked pretty bad.
And when you have a team like Houston that's going small and he's going 5 of 8 and can't just demand the basketball and dominate and say, throw it down low, put it to the man on the pivot, and just let me go to work. Like, I want to see that in him. Does he seem like the kind of guy who even just like yells when he's angry? Don't you want to just kind of grab him and shake him and say, hey, man, come on, let's go for it. Like, where's that extra gear that can put you on the Mount Rushmore Lakers? And yeah, it's not fair, Greg. Maybe I'm being unfair to Anthony Davis here on a Monday morning, asking him to go out and show out in the bubble when they have already locked up the number one seed. And Frank Vogel is saying, you know what? We want to work an offense to get more shots for KCP and Caruso. So swing the ball. Don't dunk on Robert Covington. Maybe that's happening, but that has me pause for concern, because can they ramp it up and all of a sudden, boom, that first playoff series against Dame Lillard, hopefully, in the Blazers. Okay, now all of a sudden you're going to be going 25 points and to be the man, and as Sedano says, put on the big boy pants. That is a tough pivot, even for one of the great, great centers in the game. Cover all your bases with Straight Talk Wireless. Get the same networks as big carriers, only pay up to 50% less. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data. Then 2G for just $45 a month, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. Coming up next, we're going to have Kenny Smith. I want to get into it with the Jet about those Portland Trailblazers. Damian Lillard going for a 50-piece over the weekend, bouncing back from the 2 missed free throws. And Paul George has gone full Clipper. Paul George did something over the weekend with Damian Lillard that says to me that Paul George has finally fully embraced everything it means to be a Clipper. There had always been talks that Paul George's heart was with the Lakers. He wanted to come to LA. Well, clearly from his actions this weekend, we are seeing that the Clippers is the perfect home for Paul George. I'll explain next. Plus, Kenny Smith from Inside the NBA and the Jet Academy joins the show. This is Ben Lyons filling in for Sedano. Ben Lyons filling in for George Sedano here on a Monday morning. Big shouts out to Colin Morikawa, who wins the PGA Championship up at TPC Harding. Went to Cal, won in the Bay, hit that drive on 16, the Eagle, 23 years young. Shout out to Colin winning his first major. Let's get into this Lakers Anthony Davis stuff with somebody who knows a thing or two about hoops when he's not co-hosting Inside the NBA or riding his bike down the Santa Monica Promenade, rapping to Jadakiss and doing basketball clinics for the Jet Academy. He's hanging out with us on the Sedano Show in the morning. Kenny the Jet Smith, Archbishop Malloy's finest. Great to have you on the show. What's going on with Anthony Davis playing 35 minutes and scoring 8 points on Saturday? What happened?
First of all, what's up, man? You're New York and L.A., man. You're worldwide, brother. You're worldwide. I love it. Love it. Hey, Ben, I'll tell you this. Either two things are going on with the Lakers. Either, you know, they only needed a couple of games to clinch the first place division. And, you know, it probably is difficult to focus in when you in a bubble and at the same time you know you clinched. So I'm going to put all of the Laker worries and woes to being that they've clinched so early and they really haven't dialed in yet to being in the bubble and waiting on the playoffs.
Okay, so let's put all the Laker concerns. Let's not nitpick these games that don't affect their standing. Let's put all the concerns. Let's kick the can down the road to next week. Should they say, I don't know, have to play Damian Lillard and the Portland Trailblazers? Run to the big board for me on radio and break down how you slow down Damian Lillard if you're the Lakers.
Well, the one guy who would have had two guys actually that would have had a really good shot at slowing him down just a little bit, you know, because obviously a guy his caliber doesn't get stopped. Is Avery Bradley and Rajon Rondo. So, and those two guys aren't playing. I thought that was, you know, the Lakers' hope that those two guys can create, you know, some havoc in guys like the Damian Lillards of the world. You know, as good as JR is and Deion, that's not their position. They're wing players. They aren't really point guard players. So it's going to be interesting to see how that happens, because I don't know if you can. I think he would run wild in a Lakers series.
And that, you know, that's assuming Portland's able to play their way into that final spot, and it's no consolation prize for the Lakers, and they got to deal with Ja Morant, obviously, if it's not the Portland Trailblazers.
Well, I'd rather deal with Ja as a rookie than Dame Lillard, who's waving bye-bye to some of the best players in the league.
speaking of the waving bye-bye, let's talk a little bit about that, because I think Paul George has gone full Clipper, meaning that him commenting on Damian Lillard missing free throws on Instagram is a straight loser move, and the Clippers are a franchise that's been defined by losing. So he went full Clipper because Dame Lillard came back at him and said, you know, I sent you home before and you keep switching teams. And what do you make of these guys beefing on Instagram?
Let's clarify that. He went 80s Clippers. He didn't go to 90s Clippers. You know, early 2000 Clippers. He didn't go recent Clippers. The recent Clippers, that's pretty good. You know,
come on, man. That's a weak move, Kenny. And I know they didn't have social media when you laced them up, but when you see these guys going back and forth on Instagram comments, what does it make you think?
I actually, interestingly enough, enjoy it because, like, that is a source of entertainment, but I also know that your play does the talking. And, you know, we had guys in our era, you know, that talked a lot of trash. And if they had Instagram, they would have continued it on Instagram and they would have continued it on Twitter. So that wouldn't have changed if it was in our era. I just think that we all know that you got to be from Missouri and you got to be the show me state. You got to show me. You got to show me that you could back it up. You know, Michael Jordan backed it up. Larry Bird backed it up, you know, in our era. Those guys did it on Magic Johnson, backed it up, you know. And so Hakeem Olajuwon backed it up. So it's a different feel when those guys do it.
Someone who's backed it up a lot over the years. And joining the show right now, Kenny the Jet Smith, co-host of Inside the NBA on TNT. I think they've won 629 Emmys and counting. I've lost track over the years. But somebody who has backed it up over the years is LeBron James. You and I walked out of Oracle on the night of game one of the 2018 NBA playoff finals together after LeBron went for 51. And I remember talking with you saying, this is peak LeBron. We are never going to see him on this high of the basketball mountain again. What are your expectations for LeBron in this playoffs in year 17? Can you expect that type of performance like we saw that night at Oracle?
But I think we see he's physically able to do it. But I think he said something earlier about being in the bubble. It's a new experience. Where do you draw from? You know, he's learning the process of being in there. You know, it is – I think that young teams, I said this at the start of this bubble, I said young teams have a clear advantage. And now we see how Phoenix is playing well. You see how guys can come in there because two things. We obviously, the obvious is the lack of fans, which brings a lack of anxiety for younger players who have never been in a situation. They don't have to go to Staples Center and win a game. They don't have to go to game five in Staples Center. That's, you know, and down 3-1 and have to win game five. That's a different scenario and a different anxiety. But also the fact that young players prepare for the season differently. So these guys have been off 3-4 months. Young players, they're trying to establish themselves. So they come in the first month of the season and they hit the floor running a lot of times. And traditionally, LeBron James teams have always ascended. I said this literally 2 weeks before the bubble started. His teams ascend. They don't always hit the ground running. And even when he was with Miami, with the big three, they didn't always hit the ground running. So this is what we could expect from a LeBron James team. They will start to ascend as things go on, but is it going to be enough time to do that in such a small bubble?
We'll have to wait and see. I want you to do me a favor, Kenny, and take off your basketball analyst hat for a moment and put on your father hat, because your son, KJ, is at the University of North Carolina. And as a parent, I'd love to hear your thoughts about how this bubble has impacted him and what you guys are planning to do for the fall and the winter in terms of him going back to school and how the game of basketball.
He literally went back yesterday. He literally went back yesterday. He's back on campus. You know, he has one class that's on campus. The rest are on Zoom. You know, they use the arena for some of the classes on campus. They have all of these special, housing if kids get COVID and all of these kind of precautions. But there's, you could be really responsible and still catch this virus. We know it's the most contagious and most deadly virus we've seen in our lifetime. So I'm always concerned for him as a parent. I'm just hoping that he's responsible and he's keeping his immune system up and he's keeping his health up and being responsible. And then if something happens, you just got to say, hey, it happened. But if you're not responsible and you're irresponsible, that's what I'm telling him he can't be.
Well, I love what you've been able to do, and pivoting is something I'm going to be talking about a lot today. And you've been able to pivot and provide parents at home with an opportunity for their kids to train and continue to play basketball with the Jet Academy. And that's something that I think is just really cool and has been a great success for you, I would imagine. So just talk to me about the importance of pivoting and changing your approach to how you do life, business, whatever it is you're passionate about.
Well, I think your passion will make you pivot. So, here we're sitting in a pandemic, we're sitting in social distancing, no kind of instruction, no kind of league play for kids, no kind of anything going on that they could, be part of on a social standpoint. So I said, why should your development stop? So I created the first sports academy and rolled out with basketball, with Kemba Walker, with Victor Oladipo, with Trae Young. We're doing that week right now. Brittany Griner, Breonna Stewart, WNBA MVPs and champions and all-stars. And we become your trainer for an hour and a half every day. We become your trainer. You get a chance to work out side by side with us. It works on any device, anywhere. And it's JetAcademyCamp.com. Again, JetAcademyCamp.com. Your kid should not suffer his development if he wants to be good in a sport because of a pandemic. So that's why it was created. It's live. That's what differentiates it. Today we had Trae Young. He's on. He's talking to campers live. We stream them in, and then we stream them out. We answer questions, and then we go through drills with him side by side. Again, JetAcademyCamp.com. And that's the pivot. That's the way we do things now, and we're going to continue to do it at JetAcademyCamp.com.
As part of the Jet Academy, are you training yourself so you can start to beat Draymond in your race to the board? Because I don't know why this guy keeps beating you to the board.
I'll tell you. There is a difference between retired players running to the board and current players running to the board. I will just say it like that. I can beat every retired player to the board. I cannot beat any current player to the board. That is 100% sure.
Great stuff, Kenny. Be sure if you got kids, little ones in your life, young hoopers, to check out the Jet Academy. And we appreciate your insights on LeBron and all things Lakers.
You're not going to tell our layout story.
I'll let you tell our LA quickly our story.
JetAcademyCamp.com later. But our story, how we met. Here is Ben and I. I'm at the Knick game. This is how many years ago?
It's like 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah, three. Yeah, something.
No,
like
it was that. Longer than that. It was probably like 7, 8 years ago.
So much losing, it all blends, Kenny. Yeah.
Yeah, we're at the Knick game. I have no idea who the guy is. He doesn't. I just happen to have 4 seats behind him. He's at the Knick game, like basically near the front row. And the Knicks are, I think they were either getting, they were winning, actually. They were winning a game by like 15 points. And he's heckling. Who were you heckling again?
Evan Turner.
He's heckling Evan Turner, who's not even playing on the Portland Trail Blazers. He's heckling him to death. and he's just heckling him the whole time. And I'm looking at him, I'm going, and I just went up to you and I said, why are you heckling Heaven Turner? And he's not even playing. And you're like, well, I just needed to pick on somebody today. So that's
and then,
back. I didn't know anything about it. Then here we are, years later, TNT, now ESPN Radio. Man, you've come a long way from being a heckler, brother.
Thanks, buddy. And if you need me to coach again in the Jet Academy, you know where to find me. So all love, no, Kenny.
Guys, you came to my basketball camp in North Carolina. Lost every single game.
Get out of here. We built a culture. Goodbye. JetAcademy.com.
Everybody was mad at him. No one wanted him to coach anymore. Screaming.
Get out of here. Yeah, we'll watch you on television tonight, TNT. Goodbye, Kenny. Thanks for checking in. Appreciate it. Kenny the Jet Smith joining the show. We'll get more reaction to the state of the Lakers next. Hit us up, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. Ben Lyons filling in for Sedano. This is 710-ESPN. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Ben Lyons filling in for Sedano on the Sedano Show. Guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Shout out to Kenny the Jet Smith for coming on. We got Ramona Shelburne coming up at 11 o'clock. Going to break down everything going on in the bubbles, plus talk a little Dodgers. And I definitely wanted to get into this with Momo, and that's the current state of college football. Because over the weekend, some of the top players, like Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback at Clemson, or Justin Fields, the quarterback from that school in Ohio, they tweeted out these statements with the hashtag We Are United, hashtag We Want to Play, that I'm not really sure the purpose behind them other than just providing one unified voice coming from the players that says we would like to play football, which I got to be honest, I would have assumed college football players would want to play football. So nothing really new there. You look at these players who are, you know, clearly influenced by the more than an athlete movement that LeBron has really championed and run with the last 10 plus years, using your voice, using your platform, coming out on social media and speaking directly to the world, unfiltered by an administrator, a coach, a parent, anybody in your field. You're a young person. You want to take on the world. I love to see it. That said, if you really read what they wrote, I don't know what it is they're actually saying. So let me read it for you. We all want to play football this season. All right, cool. We want you to play football too. There's a global pandemic going on that's destroying our country. But let's continue. This is in the graphic that all these top guys in the Power Five have been tweeting out. Establish universal mandated health and safety procedures and protocols to protect college athletes against COVID-19 among all conferences through the NCAA. You're demanding this? Yeah, everybody wants to be safe. We're all trying to figure out the protocols to protect student athletes. I see that you guys refer to college athletes, but don't call them student athletes, college athletes. That's fine. Give players the opportunity to opt out and respect their decision. So this is where it starts to get tricky. I will never sit here on the sidelines and tell a kid or a family that they have to put their young child in harm's way. And if you're going to lose that scholarship if you don't go down to Texas and play left guard. So you want to maintain your eligibility and your scholarship. That's understandable. But this is where it gets into a brass tacks point of view. And it says, you know, guarantee eligibility whether a player chooses to play the season or not. So if you sit out from playing, let's say, left guard at Texas, when somebody steps in and takes your spot, do they get a scholarship? Are they getting the benefits of all of the money that is being spent to support and keep college student athletes safe? It's just the money doesn't add up. And then the last thing here, use our voices to establish open communication and trust between players and officials. Ultimately, create a college football players association. I think this is a long time coming. I think there are lots of people who would agree that the college athlete has been taken advantage of because they have not unionized in some way, because they have not had proper representation. So, but basically this letter is just saying, we're gonna ultimately one day do that. Okay, let me know when that happens. Because by coming out and saying one day, ultimately, we're gonna create a players association. great. Let's do that. Give me a call when that happens. Because right now we're sitting here 30 days out from, you know, the beginning of NFL season, but less than 30 days out, what would have been the beginning of college football season. And we're in no state or shape and form in any way as a country to be putting on the pageantry of college football. So I feel for these players tremendously. Their window, most, let's be honest, 99% of them won't play organized football once their collegiate days are done. These times in their lives will help define their memories and their manhood and how they become who they are meant to be and all those things. I get it. And I understand that it must be hard for a young person who's trained their whole life, whose so entire social identity has been built up in something, to tell that young person, hey, you can't do this. But we are in no place, shape, or form with the information we have, the science, the money, all of it, to put on college football in 30 days, whether that's playing with stadiums with no fans. Or, you know, how are you going to tell kids to come, but they can't come on campus? They have to learn remotely, except if they're really good at football, then they can come have all the benefits of being part of a college community. And, you know, football drives the endowment. It drives the financial aid, fund that you're able to build up as a major university. But correct me if I'm wrong, I don't see filmmakers from USC coming out and making statements as a coalition saying, we demand that you make our film sets on campus safe. Or you don't see art students coming together and saying, all of the paintbrushes must be sanitized and us wonder for us to come back and start being creative again. Where are the science majors declaring, we want our laboratories sterilized? I understand the college football players' frustration. I understand that they're inspired by LeBron and these athletes of today who are speaking out and using a platform. I just don't know exactly what it is they're saying with this statement, hashtag we are united, hashtag we want to play. We want you to play too. We want you to play safely. Doesn't seem like that's a possibility. We'll get into it. I want to continue to hear from you as well. 877-710-ESPN. My Computer Career brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. There's so much to unpack with this college football stuff. There's no easy answer. There are some tough questions that need to be asked, and we'll ask them next. Ben Lyons filling in for Sedano on 710 ESPN. Now back to Ben Lyons filling in for Sedano on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE F5W30. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils. All right, let's get into it. We're talking about the current state of college football and how many of the top players from Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence have come out with statements saying that they want to play football this year. And it fits right in line with the idea that football has always pictured itself above whatever it is that's going on in the world. Well, we're football, so it's bigger than that. Well, this is football in America, so we will figure it out. We're bigger than this. Well, this is an example where you have to protect the players from themselves. This is why you put in concussion protocols. When a guy gets his bell rung and he says, I want to get back in the game, you have to protect the player from themselves. And I understand these young men are dying to get back out on the field, but if we don't have a vaccine, if we don't have protocols in place, if we don't have the understanding of the long-term side effects that come with contracting this disease, such as heart issues that is being more developed in young people or being more talked about in young people, then we have no business putting these young men out on the field to make money for these universities. So, Greg, I'll start with you because you're a parent here. Would you feel comfortable putting your kid out there playing college football, given everything going on in the world with COVID-19?
Absolutely not. I don't know what the long-term effects are of COVID. And the biggest issue is, like, look, there's a guy named Eduardo Rodriguez that's on the Red Sox. He's a pitcher. He's 27 years old. And he had COVID earlier this year, and he missed a little bit of training camp, or summer camp as they're calling it for baseball. And he came back and he said, I have I have complication with myocarditis, which is an inflammation of the heart muscle. He's 27 years old, so he's young, and he's having heart issues because of COVID, not because of something else that's going on, because of COVID. Now, I don't have, when it comes to kids, I am not going to put my kids at risk when it comes to future health issues without knowing exactly what's going on. And that's what's going on with these kids too. They are absolutely susceptible to getting it, and this not you cannot guarantee it by being in on campus. And if you're going to have students not going to campus, which I think most Pac-12 schools are not allowing kids on campus, you can't send kids there to play football because football.
It's a horrible message to send, and it obviously just speaks to how money is the almighty, force in this country, unfortunately. This is what my football coach, Jim Harbaugh, said in a statement about the 2020 college football season. I'm not advocating for football this fall because of my passion or our players' desire to play, but because of the facts accumulated over the last 8 weeks since our players returned to campus on June 13th. All right, so Let's take that for what it is, a small sample size of his program that is incredibly well, supported and endowed financially, maybe compared to some other schools, either in his own conference or across the Power Five. But Michigan, obviously one of the big boy college football programs. So they might have the means in place to create a type of bubble environment for their students on campus June 13th. But what about the rest of the campus? Like you said, Greg, if the rest of the campus isn't deemed safe to be open for students to go to class starting in August or September, well, what happened during a summer session in June when kids wouldn't have been on campus anyway is kind of obsolete. And then also, don't you think the situation in Michigan is much different than it is in Florida or Texas or California? And if you're going to go by the science, that science is fluid with new information all the time. So while it might be able to be contained in Ann Arbor, it might be a lot more challenging in Gainesville or Baton Rouge or wherever else, we're talking about here. So each situation is so different and fluid. To just have a blanket policy of, let's let them all back and we'll figure it out is very dangerous. And unfortunately, I think cooler heads here are going to have to prevail and say, you know what? No college football this year. But what does that really do? Not only to the student athletes, Greg, but I think about these economies and these communities. And you go out to Pasadena to watch the UCLA at the Rose Bowl sometimes. I don't know why you do that. It's a larger conversation. But you do go out there and you watch UCLA football. And 30,000 people on a Saturday go to Old Town after the game. That destroys all the restaurants and the bars and the hotels. And that's going to be where college football is felt. Not with these students. Yes, with the student, but you're really going to feel it for these communities where they're from.
Yeah, I mean, that's always a huge point of some of the issues here is what it does to our economy. But I mean, that's why a lot of these different places, they have, they have delivery or, however it all gets done. It's just kind of the world that we live in, unfortunately. But I just can't see why it would be okay to be sending these. And this is my biggest thing, too, is that in this statement that you read just a few minutes ago from all the Power Five schools, it says, hashtag we are united. If you are united, then that means that every school means exactly the same in every Power Five conference. So if there is one school that is saying you can't come to campus, then that means that all schools you can't have college football in that point because that one school is not allowing. If UCLA is not allowing people on campus for students, then they can't be allowing players on as football players. And then if you're united, then that one football team, then that ruins it for everybody else. And that's how
that's
it has
right.
to be.
That's right. You pick up the phone and tell Nick Saban he's not going to have college football in Alabama this year. And you pick up the phone and say that Gainesville is not going to go off on a Saturday. Because you're right. That's why, Greg, I called them out. When I saw that thing this morning, I said, great. I'm glad to see that these players think it's the right thing to do to speak out and use their voice because it is. I look forward to them doing it on issues that I think where they're, they'll actually be able to make some change. But right here, it just feels very hollow and hashtaggy. Hashtag we are united. But if one of the smaller schools has a problem, we'll just focus on the big schools. Yeah, not buying this one bit. Let's see if Ramona Shelburne has a thing or two to say about the current state of college football. She'll be calling in the show coming up at 11 o'clock. Mo was going to call in. And she's also going to talk about the Dodgers, who are you know, they're rolling, guys. They're 11-5. My neighbor the other day comes out. We share sort of a backyard space, and he was like, oh, my God, we don't have a starter, and Bellinger's been terrible, and Seager's hurt, and the bullpen, and Kenley, oh, my. Last I checked, Kenley hasn't blown a save. Last I checked, Dustin May had his best outing of his career. Last I checked, Mookie Betts hits a home run every time I feel like he needs to hit a home run. Situational hitting has been tremendous. What's there to worry about? They're 11-5 in a bubble season. Do the math. Doesn't make them like 30-10? They're fine. What's the problem? Greg, you're the biggest Dodger fan on the station. Are you worried at all? Not at all.
I haven't been worried in the slightest at any point because of this, what this team is doing. And yes, you have Mookie Betts, who has been fantastic when healthy. And Cody Bellinger will figure it all out. They have one of the best bullpens in baseball right now. I have no issue with their bullpen. I have no issue with their pitching staff. None of it. It has been just a joy to watch. And look, they're going to lose games. I'm sorry.
It's baseball. And you know what? Right. We do this every year now because we're so clamoring for a World Series. We want it so badly. We've been knocking on the door for so long that at the start of the season, whether it's traditionally April or this year in August, we're like, can they win the World Series right now? No, they can't. So don't judge them for that. That's not their fault. It's called just being patient. And I love the way that this team has so many different guys who contribute night in and night out. And tonight is one of those nights. And if you get a chance to check out the Dodger game tonight, you'll see Dustin May and, you know, Tatis Jr. going at it. And this is like the future of baseball, the future of the NL West for the next 5-10 years. So definitely a game to watch this evening. We'll talk to Ramona coming up next about the Dodgers and the current state of college football. Ben Lyons filling in for Sedano, 710 ESPN.